Please sit down. Good morning, Emmanuel, and a very warm welcome to all of you, including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourself known to me or Robert or to one of the stewards. For those who are listening at home, the service is being led by Robert and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is Tom Hartshorn, and the prayers of intercession have been written by David Ledbetter. There are no notices apart from those in weekly news, but I would like to highlight the note about the Easter eggs. If you want a fair trade Easter egg from Liz, will you please let Jeff know today after the service, as they have to order them. I will now light the Christ candle and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning, each and all of you, and welcome to this sunny day. No snow today? Shh, I know. Let's keep it a secret. We didn't have snow all winter. Beginning of spring, down it came. It is cold. It's a bit confusing for everybody. Nature doesn't know what's going on. Neither do we. But we gather for worship as God's people, giving thanks for being able to be here today to share this time together, and our thoughts and our prayers and our hearts open to God's people everywhere. The call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. May this be true for us and for God's people everywhere, that assurance that we aren't alone, that God is acting in the world today. Though sometimes we find it difficult to believe that that's happening, that there are days that we could say, come on, please, we're not too sure that you are paying attention. Wake up. But then, do you know what happens? God will one day say to us, wake up. And when we do, we see how much has been going on that God has been involved in. Let us sing of God's love, of the God who was there at the beginning and continues to be. All our hymns this morning from Rejoice and Sing, and it's hymn number 60, God Who Spoke in the Beginning. Sounded really good. Thank you. The churches north, south, east, and west of our country today, together with many in the world, are setting apart a moment in worship for prayers for Ukraine, prayers for the areas of conflict, of devastation, of brokenness, of pain, of hatred. Asking God to be present, asking God to open the eyes of those who are leading to seek solutions that will bring peace. We have been doing that most Sundays since the conflict began, and I will now light the peace candle so that we can focus our thoughts and our prayers at this moment. For the people of Ukraine, dear God, the people in Russia, for the people struggling with wars in so many parts of the world, we light the peace candle from the flame of the Christ candle, because we believe that through Christ, peace will be true, even if it begins as the feeble light of one candle. But up and down the nation today, and in other parts of the world, many candles will be lit. That your light may shine, we pray, O Lord. Amen. Leading to our prayer this morning, I want to share words that aren't mine, because I don't write poetry. And it'll open our eyes to what is around in the church. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high or vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Continues as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretch in never-ending line along the margins of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not be gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought that wealth the show, that what wealth they show me had brought. For oft, when on my couch I lie in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon the inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. The daffodils are in the church. As soon as you enter or as soon as you leave, you will see them. And these flowers will go to other people today at the end of the service. And they are just a small, small example of the beauty and the grace of God's creation that can inspire us. Let us pray. For the beauty of the breeze, the flowers, the poetry, the thoughts, for all that, looking at that sea of yellow warms our heart. We thank you. We thank you that though creation is threatened in many ways, the daffodils are showing us the beauty of creation. Hurt it may be, but not defeated yet. And as it brings joy to us, it will bring joy to others. Thank you. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to recognize, to see, to rejoice, even to murmur the words we can recognize in the poetry. Thank you for what you have given us in so many ways. We've heard it this morning, the powerful sound of the organ. Our hearts coming together as we sing. Our thoughts with those people who are struggling. Our rejoicing in seeing people once again. Thank you for what you do in our lives and in the life of the world. It's the little things that make a difference sometimes, isn't it, God? May we be allowed to do those little things that will change life for others. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for calling us to be part of all that. And forgive us. Forgive us for all that may stop the daffodils from growing. Forgive us when we forget the pain of others. Forgive us when we take for granted that we meet and celebrate and rejoice together. Forgive us when you are just another word in our vocabulary. Forgive us, dear God, for not valuing the small things that make the difference and lead us forward as new people, knowing that you are involved in the world, that you are doing things. Yes, sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we find it hard to see. But suddenly our name sounds in the wind. You have spoken. Your gentle arms embrace us. And you ask us to open our eyes. And our hearts explode with joy. You are there, as you are for all people. Heal us, forgive us, make us new, and give us the courage to walk forward in the journey of life. To you be the glory forever and ever. And we, your children, say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as part of our service now, we share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. Lord, we present to you the offering, what is in the plate, what we give in different ways, what is in the box for the food bank, that each and every one of these may proclaim your love, and that we, with what we are and what we have, may honor your name through word, action, and thought. Bless those who decide how this money is to be used, and bless those who are needing of such grace. Amen. We share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for that as well. You didn't expect me to use it, did you?
Reading today is in two parts, first from Isaiah, and then from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21, and if you wish to follow it in the Bibles in the pews, it's on page 682. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Then from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b to 11, and that can be found on page 195 of the New Testament section. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Tom, for leading us in the reading. The choir will now sing the anthem, which you can follow if you would like to. It's hymn 218 in our hymn book, When My Love to God Grows Weak. And it's verses 1 to 4, isn't it?
Thank you.
The music is absolutely beautiful to that hymn, it really is. Loving God, we've heard your word. We hear the anthem. We go deep inside ourselves. Speak to us, open our eyes, our hearts, our whole life to the way ahead, so that we may do your will. Amen. We are coming to the end of Lent. Has Lent this year changed you in any way whatsoever? Were you expecting to be changed? Or we just got so accustomed to these dates the church has that there are no surprises any longer. We know what will come next week and the week after that. We just have to look up in the weekly news where the event will take place. But we know this year, thank goodness, that something will take place. And then we just have to wait for Pentecost to come. And then we get into the ordinary time and, wow, suddenly, Christmas will be in the air. Oh yes, you laugh, but you know it's coming. You know it's coming. Do we just take it as what's happening? One thing leads into another. The days come and go. And things just keep going as they usually have. In any way, have the readings that you've just heard, led by Tom, lifted any questions in your hearts? Have they touched your lives? To remember what was, to look forward to what is, to remember, to forget. What shall we forget? What will we remember? And psychology tells us that memory is selective. We remember, or particularly we forget, things we choose to forget, or do our best to forget. The Spanish philosopher George Santayana is credited with the aphorism, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." So there is an important fact in remembering things of the past. Many a times in the last 38 days we have said, 70 years without war in Europe. And why was that? And now, reading the horrors that are happening. And if we lift our eyes a bit further, they go well beyond Ukraine and Russia. There have been plenty of things to be remembered or that have been forgotten. Are we merely repeating things? In the politics of the world, in the politics of our country, the environment. Yes, the dependence on Russian oil. Suddenly, in today's newspaper, we read, oh, let's go back to fracking, as if that were a good idea. Is it short memory? Is it the temptation of lots of money? Social justice. As we've said time and time again over the last weeks, how many of you looked at your meters on the 1st of April? Because all I know is when I tried to send in a reading to my provider, it had collapsed because so many people were sending their meter reading in, terrified of what's going to come. Did you read yesterday of that family who was saying, We've given up one meal a day to be able to face the bill increase that's coming. And that's in our country. How many things are happening? And some people say, we never learn, do we? Does this help us in any way understand the context of today's readings? Because the past, by definition, is the past. It's behind us. And we are reminded time and time again that God does not stay anchored in the past. He keeps on reminding us that there are greater things to come. And yet we can't ignore the past. We can't forget the past, but we can't be ruled by the past. Because we are people of the way, and the way is the way to the kingdom. So when we do have a prayer for peace, may your kingdom come. If peace is part of the kingdom, and we are praying, may your kingdom come, it is something we want in our todays. It's not something for that distant past. We aren't that sort of church. We bear what the present, because the kingdom in all its glory will come. Well, for some it'll be too late if that's the way it's going to happen. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to people who are in exile. They've been taken off to Babylon, and they're losing hope. Will they ever get home? All is lost, it would seem. And God speaks, reminding them of their past. The first verses, do you remember when I opened the seas, leaving slavery in Egypt and the liberation to come? A way in the sea, a path in mighty waters. A timely reminder, yes. And then, in the midst of the reading, God surprises the people, and I hope surprises us by saying, do not remember the former things. Or consider the things of old. I am about to do new things. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many times have we said to God, keep on doing what you've done in the past. That was good for your people then. Remember, but don't remember. Yes, God's not always easy to understand. It's a struggle. Things will be similar but not the same, because God is proclaiming that even greater things will come. And the letter to the church in Philippi, Paul reminding us of his credentials. Wow, nobody could be more prepared than Paul. Sorry, it was Saul in those days. Nobody could be more prepared than him. Circumcised on the eighth day, which is more than most of us would say, thank goodness, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, persecutor of the early church, blameless. He could ask for no more. Those were his recommendations. And then he uses a very harsh word. I consider all this to be rubbish. Well, man, that's what gets you into places. If anything of the past, recent past in our country is to go by, man, that gets you into the House of Lords. It does. Come on, we all know one or two people who have less recommendations than these that are sitting there. Okay, if he only owned a newspaper, it would probably be easier, wouldn't it? And I'm not being a cynic, though it may sound like it. He says, I lose all this for the sake of Christ. What is worth it, something, lies ahead, not behind. And then, at the end, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press forward to the goal of Jesus Christ. Paul says that whatever meant something to him at one time in life, or to others, no longer has any weight in his life. He has been freed to another goal, Jesus Christ. And this is where we are today. As a church, Clearly, we stand at the crossroads. Was the past better than our present? So at least we can go back to the past. Is the present so uncertain that we see no future? Are we condemned as a church to repeat the past? Because you know what? That past gives us an identity. Things were clear in those days. Things were better in those days. And yet not long ago, we celebrated 80 years of the inauguration of the church. Do you remember what year that was? Come on, somebody's got to remember it. Sorry? 1939. Well, great year to start things off in Britain, wasn't it? Nothing better. And a church was inaugurated. It went against all common sense. When, why would we open a church when the world was going into war? Did it make any difference? It did. But that's the past that inspires us, but not the past in which we can stay anchored. Because in those years, the world has changed. We see that every morning when we look at ourselves in the mirrors, don't we? We aren't the people we were 2 years ago, 70 years ago. But that's it. Because that is dangerous territory. And God knows that. Go back to Isaiah for a second. Even when Exodus was the greatest historical triumph in the minds and hearts of the people of God, when God was at his most dynamic and involved, and the seas opened and the people crossed and the seas closed, and well, then they had to march for 40 years. Yes, they took the crossing of the seas for granted and went off on their own, but they got to the promised land. They crossed the Jordan into something new. They're in exile now. That same people are now not in Egypt, but in Babylon. How long are they going to be there? I don't know. Are they going to dwell on the past? Oh God, if you only did things as you did. And God says to them in that context, I am preparing something new, a new future, new things. And then Paul speaking, I'm giving up all that was my past. And just so you understand what I'm talking about, says Paul, I'll call it rubbish. Because you all know what that word means. It's rubbish. It's not worth it. He's giving up. And this is the challenge. And at Emmanuel, like so many other churches of the United Reformed Church, we are considering, we are at this time wondering about the challenge ahead. Things that we thought were there are not there any longer, at least for the moment. Coffee and tea after the service, we all like the thought of it. We had it last Sunday. It could have gone better, not in the organizing it, but in the people who stayed. Luncheon club, it's closed down. Concerns for the members who feel they can't come back yet. We think of them and pray for them week after week. The letters we get, or that I get copies of, saying, what's going to happen with the choir? You've all read them this week. How are we going to get on? What are we going to do? Because the choir was part of our identity. We loved having it. We love having it. And even in small numbers, you do make a difference. But, isn't the but there in our question this moment? What is going to happen? Who's going to help us? Who's going to do it? That's the question. Everything can be done, but who's going to do it? Who will feel the challenge, really the challenge, to say, it's probably my turn to consider being an elder? Is that going to happen? The article Steve wrote for the Partnership magazine confronts us with some of those questions. And Steve begins by saying, I'm about to write the report for the annual church meeting. And then he shares those thoughts. Have you read it? Do they resonate to your questions, to your prayers, to your thinking? And if I stayed here and said amen to this, probably be looking for the nearest cliff to jump over. But that's not faith. That's not why we are here. Because none of this can be resolved only by the elders, only by the minister, only by a few people of the working groups that we have, only by those who have the good intentions of doing something. It is the challenge to us as a church, even those who can't physically do anything, but are here. That's the source of our hope. That's where we lie. Your prayers, your thoughts, your ideas. Phone up and say, I've suddenly thought of this. Will it happen? I don't know, but somebody's thought of something. We have to think of all those things that we should leave behind and head to what is coming. Something like Paul telling us what went on in his life. And then, when I was feeling quite down, as you can probably guess, on Thursday, as part of the time I dedicate in the morning, I read fresh from the Word for Thursday. And those of you who follow it will have found the same phrase. In the midst of great fear and trembling and an uncertain future. Wow, that was me there. In the midst of fear, trembling, and uncertain future, there is one sure thing. God is with us. In the unexpected and the unfamiliar new, as much as he was in the old. As much as he was in the old. But he didn't stay there. God says he chooses to walk with his people. Do any of you have the weekly news handy? Can somebody read from the weekly news the thought for the week, please? I always read it. But can somebody read the thought for the week? Come on, yes, read it. Just get up and read it. Yes, shout it out. I'm shouting.
Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God.
Can you repeat it?
Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God.
Never be afraid to trust an unknown future. We have no idea what's coming, but to a known God. We don't trust it to anything. We don't even trust it to our own strengths or intelligence. We trust in God. That was written by Corrie ten Boom. Some of you may know her story. At this time of Lent, we affirm our belief in life. And I know that Holy Week is a mass of contradictions. We will get to the resurrection, but not without the Thursday of the Last Supper, the washing of the feet, the crucifixion, the anxiety of the Saturday without knowing what in heaven's name is going on. But resurrection is there. Now, is that a sequence of Bible stories that we know, or is it something that we are going to get hold of and say, it is my life as well, it is the life of the church as well? We will go through those stages. Is that one of our stages now? Probably. It's not good enough to say, oh, many churches are going through that. There's a saying in Spanish that says, the sadness of many is the consolation of the fools. Quickly interpreted and translated. We don't want to say, oh, we're just another church going through a stage. It's Emmanuel. We will do whatever we can. Because Emmanuel means to us, God is with us. And whenever we chose that name, whenever I make a joke with Gerald England about Immanuel or Emmanuel, and they've got the wrong spelling, obviously, but it means the same thing. How did they let two churches have a very similar name in just 10-minute drive, one for another? I nearly applied to Emmanuel when Immanuel was up for grabs, if you'll know what I mean. Then I realized it didn't look anything like the photographs I'd got. We believe in a God that says, I know you by name. You are my child, I love you. When even, and particularly when all seems finished, dead, lost, God says, let's keep on looking at what is coming. I still want to do new things, and I want to do them with you. So yes, there are moments we feel sad. Moments we feel that we don't know what anything is going to happen. We had a good rant and a good prayer meeting on Wednesday. It really, really worked. And things will happen. We have to be open to recognize them. Let's take today as a challenge for the future, one in which each and all of us are involved. It's not somebody else's job. It's our job, not their job. Even if we do it in different ways, even if what we can do is smaller than what somebody else can do, even if what we can do is bigger than what somebody else can do, we break through the fences that we have built to protect us and venture on the way ahead. I close with the words of the psalm with which we began worship this morning, with only one slight change that you will probably recognize. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Immanuel, we were like those who dream. We were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. That is what God is doing. The time of Lent is coming to an end. There is still so much for us to do. And may the people of God say Amen.
Robert, this is totally unsolicited, but I've got to tell you a brief story. Yesterday, I sat on the sofa and was praying for this church and the partnership. And it caused me to put pen to paper. And the title that I gave of the words I wanted to address was Past, Present, and Future. And I started by saying, we cannot dwell in the past or entirely live in the future. Mm-hmm. But we have to give ourselves the confidence to know that as Immanuel, God is with us. I then talked a lot about organizations and various things in a 10, 12 page handwritten thing. You knew nothing of that.
No, I didn't.
I didn't know what you were going to say. But, you know, it's either coincidence or don't you think possibly the Spirit is moving? Because I think it is.
Amen. And isn't it frightening when it happens? We pray for it and then when suddenly something happens, oh God, was I really asking for this to go on? Yes, our next hymn, hymn 217, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. This wasn't the hymn I chosen, but it's the hymn that Jeff said to me, oh, we used the tune of the hymn you chosen last Sunday. Can I suggest this for Passion Sunday? The words are there. He'd read the reading, I imagine, when he suggested this. Yes, I count but loss. But there is something we can gain on. Let us sing hymn 217. David will now lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Before I read the prayers of intercession, can I just say that something is working? There's been no collusion between Robert or Jeff on what words I'm going to say that follow, but I hope you will see a recurring theme through what they have said and what I'm about to say. Let us pray. At this Lenten time of watching, waiting, reflecting, and repenting, we stop and count our blessings as we intentionally give thanks for who we are, what we have, and the possibilities and opportunities that lie before us. Let us give thanks to those who care, nurture, challenge, speak out, step up, work, and encourage. In this time of quiet, Lord, hold our prayers. We come holding before you people and places of situations which weigh heavily on our hearts and minds. We raise to you those suffering through and from conflict, particularly in Cameroon, Ethiopia, Malawi, Mozambique, Lake Chad, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Somalia, Sudan, Afghanistan, Myanmar, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and of course, Ukraine. So many people we will never know, but they have a place in our hearts. Lord, earlier, Robert put a flame to our candle of peace. Take that flame in your hands, Lord. Spread it throughout the world so that all may know peace. In this time of quiet, Lord, hold our prayers. We come holding before you the things that we see around us in the community that trouble, anger, concern us. They worry us, unsettle us. Give hope to the homeless, hope to those who have no hope. Inspire those that can make a difference. Help us to see what we can do, who we can support with solidarity and love. Give us an insight to know when to act, but also when to walk away, but never stop caring and responding. In this time of quiet, Lord, hold our prayers. We come holding before you those who have been rejected, who are lost, who feel the sadness of fear, those who do not have a place to call home, those with insufficient food, water, shelter, warmth, or resources to live safely. We give thanks to you, Lord, for the agencies such as the Swindon Food Collective, who offer help and support, and challenge the structures that allow such suffering and despair. In this time of quiet, Lord, hold our prayers. We come holding before you the relationships that we struggle with, the ones that give us concern and worry, ones we need to work on, and ones we need to accept are over. Sometimes letting go is the only way forward. In this moment of silence, Lord, We bring before you those we personally know who need your love and comfort. So, Lord, hear our prayers, the prayers spoken aloud, and the unspoken ones in our hearts, which we bring before you in the name of your Son Jesus, who showed the greatest love of all. Amen.
Thank you so much, David. Our final hymn, hymn 475. God, you meet us in our weakness. God, you meet us in our sorrows. God, you meet us in our neighbors. Yours the Spirit, we the people, sharing love in word and deed. Hymn 475. God, even into the unknown, even if you're afraid, even if we aren't sure, but remember, God has chosen to go with us. In our prayers, in our thoughts, in our actions, may we ask God for eyes to see his presence. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those we love, and with the people of God everywhere, this day and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.